So good to see all of you here this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're so glad that you are here. And thank you for being part of our River Chase family this morning. Welcome back if you've been traveling, and it's good to have you back. Happy Father's Day. This is one of those things that, I don't celebrate that kind of thing until the kids say, we want to do something for you, so we have to participate. So it's that kind of thing, you know. But, you know, usually this is how it goes, right? You get your Mother's Day, you get your Father's Day. You get your Mother's Day, really pretty, right? Decorations all over the place, cards all over the place. And then you have Father's Day. That's right. Yeah, that's me. Lots of food. Give me food, I'm a happy dad. You know, that's just how it goes. But if you're a father today, happy Father's Day to all of you. All right, let's go ahead and get on with the lesson this morning. I really love the book of Nehemiah. It's one of those books that I just love to read. I want to say over and over again, but it's short. It's only 13 chapters. So it's really good. I love reading from it. But it's just so amazing, the many lessons that we can get from the book of Nehemiah. And I titled this lesson 52 Days. Because, Terry, this is why. It took 52 days to build the wall. It took them 52 days from the moment that they started till they finished to build the wall that Nehemiah wanted to build. And it's interesting on that part too, because Nehemiah was a man, he was a cupbearer in the king's court. He was the man that was in charge of making sure that the food was right and also what the king was drinking wasn't poisonous. He was the first one to taste everything. So what do you think happened when the king saw Nehemiah's face and saw him all not very happy? You know, if I was the king, I'd be worried. I'd be worried about what is wrong. Are you sick? Is it something that you drank? You know, you being the cupbearer? You know, so he was concerned about that. And then the king just said, well, you know, tell me what's in your heart. Tonight we're going to be studying the book of Ezra. And these two books go hand in hand together. 458 to 45 B.C. That's approximately the time that all this happened. And it's interesting because Ezra is the one that came in first. He was the first one to come to the land of Jerusalem to establish temple worship by the order of, I can never say his name, Artaxerxes. Let's just call him Xerxes, all right? So, Mr. X-Man. So, he was the one in charge of saying, you know, hey, you know what? I have all the kingdoms of the world. God has given to me everything. Let's just establish a place for him so that he can be worshipped. And he did that in the city of Jerusalem. And that's how come Ezra came to establish the temple worship, which is what we're going to study tonight. But in the book of Nehemiah, it begins with Xerxes sending Nehemiah to say, go build your wall. Go and do what you have in your heart to do. Another thing about today, the lesson is going to be very short. I know that you're hungry and you're excited to celebrate with family, but it's going to be pretty short today. So let's go ahead and let me ask you a question. What bothers you? What usually bothers you? I asked this question around the office this week. What bothers you? What really puts a chip on your shoulder? What things do really bother you? So I got some answers. Shopping carts in the parking lot. This is what bothers some of them, right? Does that sound like Big D? That's Big D, right? He can't stand shopping carts. People just getting their stuff and just leaving it there. And when you're about to park, it's just like you're in the middle. It's like you can't move. So that bothers some people. People who don't tell the truth, that also bothers people. You know, you can't trust anything that they say. It's just, and I'm not talking about joking. I'm talking about people who just, you know, they just cannot be reliable in what they say. So it bothers some other people. Inconsiderate drivers. How about that? Those people that go to Sunday morning and they don't drive in fast because we're running late for church. I mean, come on, right? No, inconsiderate drivers, you know, every day in traffic, you see those people that there's somebody about to turn to the left side and nobody's giving him a chance. There's no traffic coming in, but they're just standing there, not letting somebody get through. You know, that's kind of inconsiderate. People that don't put their signal, all that kind of stuff, right? The next one. Christmas in November. This bothers some people, right? Right after Halloween, they're putting those Christmas songs, right? Yeah, Ms. Ellen, that bothers you too? No, okay. But, you know, it's these kind of things, these little things that you wish you could do something about, and sometimes you have to do something about it because you have to get out or actually be the person that sets the example. And I asked the same question to kids, 12 years and younger. Well, what is the one thing that bothers you? The first thing was commercials, right? Kids hate commercials on TV, remote control when it's not working properly, right? That bothers some kids. The video game controller, you know, that those kind of problems. So we are now in the book of Nehemiah, and this is why we are studying. Chapter 1. In chapter 1, you have this situation. There is a problem. Nehemiah receives a report from his brother, and he tells him, the city is in shambles. The gates are burning. It's a disaster. Jerusalem is not doing well. After the last destruction, after the last conquest, the city is just completely in ruins. And so, guess what? Nehemiah hears about that, and he does something very interesting. Verse 4, chapter 1, verse 4. Now, my question now is for you. Usually when we hear of bad things that happen, what is the first thing that we do? You know, it depended on the type of news, right? Depending on what's going on, you know, you get a different reaction. In verse 4, this is what Nehemiah does. When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. Let's just stop there for a second. We're going to cover the highlighted parts. He sat down and wept. His knees were not strong enough to hold him. He had to sit down. Now, you're talking about a man who is in charge, of making the king happy. It's kind of like a crime for him to enter the side of the king and be unhappy. And there he is, sitting down, weeping, crying, when he hears this news. Have you ever heard news like that? I think we have sometimes. Then he says, and mourned for days. This is somebody that got really affected by what he heard. He got really affected by those news that there was nothing in the world that could make him happy that day. He was really bothered by it. And then he said, I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I think that's why he got his answer. You see, the reason of fasting is because you're showing God, or you're showing to yourself, food is not important to me right now. This is the least thing on my mind. Now, how often do we eat? 5 times a day? 6 times a day? Right? If you're David Durantes. But, you know, it's that kind of thing. Food is not important to me right now because this is really bothering me. Now, this is where I want to talk to you right now this morning. What bothers you? What really bothers you in your life? Is there a sin in your life that you're just constantly trying to get rid of it, and it just keeps on coming back, and it's just bothering you all the time? Is there something that maybe you've been wanting to do in the church, and for some reason you said, I want to do this later on when I retired, and you've been retired, and you're still not doing it? Or maybe you thought, maybe when I grow up, or maybe when I have some more time, or maybe when whatever, something is bothering you in your Christian life. So what is that? So my question number 2 is, what have you done about that? What is it that you're doing about it? Is there a way that you're trying to fix it? Is there a way that you're trying to make it better? Is there a way that you're saying, I'm not going to let this happen anymore? Well, you see, he prayed and he fasted because this was important to him. A wall? A wall. To build a wall around the city. That's what was important to him. It's interesting. We'll see what goes on. There were approximately 15,000 people living in Jerusalem during that time. So my question is, if the city was in shambles, if the city gates were burning, if the walls were torn down, how come 15,000 people were not bothered by it? How come there was only one man being bothered by it? Nehemiah. What about the 15,000 people that were living in that city every day, knowing the threats that were coming to them, knowing that they were not going to be safe? What is it that they were doing about it? Nothing. Nothing. And this is where Christianity is the most awesome thing. Because God has enabled us as Christians that if something bothers us, and we pray about it, and we decide to do something about it, it will happen. We will do it because of his help. Nehemiah will mention that in just a couple of minutes. But you see, of those 15,000 people, none of them were bothered by it. The next day, verse 17 of chapter 2, this is what's going on. Then I said to them, he's talking to the people. These are the people living in Jerusalem. These are the people that he had just come and analyzed the city, seen every gate. He has seen everything that is around him. So he talks to the people now. You see the bad situation that we are in. Captain Obvious, right? You're seeing it. But you know what is interesting about being obvious about it? Is that sometimes when you say something, sometimes people are just like, you know, that's right. How come this hasn't bothered me before? How come I haven't done anything about it before? So you see the situation that we're in, that Jerusalem is desolate and to its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall. And that's leadership right there. Leadership 101. You don't say, go do. You say, let's go. Let's go. Let's do it. Let's rebuild this wall. Which is interesting about that as well. Because Nehemiah had all the materials now that he needed. He asked permission from the king. The king allowed him to get all the timber. The king allowed him to get all the safe travels that he needed in order to build that wall. So now guess what? He says, I have the resources. What is stopping us from doing this? What is stopping us from building this wall? The only thing that is stopping us is us. Us not wanting to do it. Us not wanting to do anything about it. And there's so many applications that I could go with this. Think about it for a second. Let's talk about our personal lives. You know, what is it stopping us from changing? What is it stopping us from doing what the Lord has asked us to do? Let's talk about the church as a community. What is it stopping us from doing the Lord's work as a church? What is it stopping us from doing what God has asked to put in our hearts and ask us to do, and we're not doing it? What about our country? What is it stopping us from doing what we're supposed to be doing? You see? So many applications that you could go with this, but the one thing that it really remains is that all comes down to us. What is stopping us from doing the Lord's work? What is stopping us from doing the Lord's will? That's only a question that you can answer. But now Nehemiah says, let's do it. And then he says, so that we will no longer be a reproach. All right, kids, it's okay to be embarrassed sometimes, okay? Xander, it's okay to be embarrassed sometimes. It's all right. Because you know what happens when you get embarrassed sometimes? You try to fix it. You try to make it better. It's okay to lose a game every once in a while. If you play soccer, baseball, it's okay to lose a game. Because the next time, you're going to want to try to make it better. Right? That's what you do in diving, right? Every time you dive, you get better, and you just try to make it better the next time. Well, see, that's what we do in our Christian life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be getting better and better every time because we are tired of failing. So sometimes the question might be is like, am I tired of failing? Or do I enjoy falling into sin every time? Or do I enjoy being where I am right now? Because if I'm not, then I gotta do something about that. I gotta do something about my Christian life, and I have to work better at it. Reproach sometimes is a good thing. It makes us see. And it helps us to get better. Verse 18, chapter 2. I told them how the hand of my God has been favorable to me. I love that phrase. We're going to encounter that phrase a few times in the book of Nehemiah and a few times in the book of Ezra. And that is extremely important. How much credit do we give to God for the things that he has done? How much credit are we giving to God for the things that he has done for us and to us? I love the prayers. I love the prayer this morning, the Lord's Supper. We have been blessed so much more than we deserve. We have been given so much. And I'm talking about me personally. Compared to what I had before, there's so much more. And you see, the hand of my God was with me. That's what Nehemiah said. He didn't say, I came to build this wall so you can say Nehemiah's wall. He didn't come to build this wall so he can say, Nehemiah helped us build this wall. You know why the wall was so important to him? Because it wasn't just the wall. It was the protection to the city of God in the mind of Nehemiah. He wasn't doing this just because he wanted to. He was doing this because he knew that this meant protection for the people of God. This is what they needed. This is for the people of God. This is for God's kids, God's children. And so he goes and say, and also about the king's words which he had spoken to me. Then they said, now listen to the people speak now. These are the people that were living in the city and they were not bothered by it. This is their answer. Let us arise and build. How do you get people motivated to do something? How do you get people that are the people of God motivated to do the Lord's work? You tell them what God has done for you. You tell them how God has been good to you. And then the people will see and they'll say, let's do it. Let's build this wall. It's an attainable goal. It's a doable goal. We can get this done. So, can I change my ways? Can I change my life? With the hand of God, you can. Can I change the culture in the church? With God's help, I can. Can I change the country? You bet we can. With God's help. But we have to do our part. We have to be the Christians that God wants us to be. There is no other way around it. There is no short way. There is nothing that you can say, I'm going to take this shortcut. There is no shortcut to do the Lord's work. It just has to be done. We have to do that. The people said, I think we can do it. Let's do it. So they put their hands to the good work. And when you read chapter 2 and chapter 3, you look at the professions of the people. They were jewelers. They were, jewelers, people that sold jewelry. Perfumers. These were simple people. These were business people. But look, this is what they did. Each family went and built a side of the wall. Each group of people went and they said, this is where we're going to start. And they did. They didn't have to build the whole wall, all of them, one family at a time. And that's how they went from one side to the other to build all the gates of Jerusalem. And you want to say, how long did it take them? It took them 52 days. 52 days to take care of the work. So my question that I like to ask myself, and I've been asking myself since I've been reading Nehemiah again, what have I done within the last 52 days? What goals have I accomplished within the last 52 days? You know? And there's not much that I have to show for it. So this lesson is not only for you, brothers and sisters. It's for me as well. You know, God has given us so many things, and we have so much talent that we sometimes, we don't use it for him. But they build those walls in 52. Opposition, chapter 4. So guess what? Just like, you know, we have in real life, they got opposition. Then I stationed in the lowest parts of the space behind the wall, the exposed places, and I stationed the people in families with their swords, spears, and bows. Now, they told Nehemiah, if you keep on building this wall, we're going to come and attack you. If you keep on building this wall, we're going to gather all of your enemies, and we're going to come and destroy it into your face. Now, how many attacks has Christianity been getting? How many attacks has Christians we've been getting? Oh, we're going to sue you. Oh, we're going to do this. Don't say this. Don't say that. We have a wall to build, brothers and sisters. Opposition means nothing. Opposition just means grab your sword and keep on working. In Christian terms, grab your Bible and keep on working. Live your Christian life and keep on working. That's what that means. We have a wall to build. We have people to save. We have souls to save. The church needs to be rebuilt. We need to keep on rebuilding. Verse 14, when I saw their fear. That's okay. We all get scared. I hate snakes. Y'all know that. Y'all heard that story about the snake in the office, right? Yes. I didn't squeal like a little girl, I promise you. There was a squealing, but not like a little girl. Yeah, I'm scared of snakes. So I understand we all get scared. All right? But this is where leadership comes on, guys. I'm talking now to you men. Household of the families. Fathers. Grandfathers. This is for you. This is what he said. I rose and spoke. Sometimes we got to speak. Sometimes we got to say something. And he said, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome. And fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Sometimes we have to remember what we're fighting for. Sometimes we've got to remember what we have to lose, and there is so much to lose if we don't continue in this fight. If we don't continue to work hard and bring in our kids in God's ways. You know, I'm not an early service person, but I'm so glad and I'm so blessed that we have a second service. You know, let's make sure that that happens. You know, let's make sure that we as fathers guide our homes and our kids and our wives in the ways of the Lord, to teach them, to instruct them, and to show them that there's a better thing out there than just this world that is around us. We have to do that as fathers. We have to take a role. They're going to be scared. Christianity can be scary. Let's think about it for a second. Now let me talk to the deacons about that. If you're a deacon in the church, take your ministry. Don't be afraid. Take your ministry where it hasn't gone before. What is it bothering you about it that you haven't done? What is it bothering you that you have been struggling with? Just take it somewhere else. Just grab the courage and say, I got to do this for the Lord. If you're a minister, gosh, I'm the only one. Duane is not here. Scott is an uplift and Tony is in second service. So, you know, what bothers you? What bothers me? Would you like to know what bothers me as a minister? As a minister, it bothers me that I don't do everything I'm supposed to do. It really does. Because, and I don't want to say an excuse because I'm human. We're all human. But sometimes I realize that I could have done something better after the day is gone. After the day has passed. And it bothers me to no end. It does. I gotta do better. When I was telling you that you got to do better, I was really talking to myself as well. I have to do better. There are some things that bother me so much. Evangelism. I don't study with people enough. That's the one thing I did. I love doing, and I still love doing. But I don't study with people enough. I don't want to say that I know everything about the Bible, but I know a lot of things that can help people in their lives, in their daily lives, and I don't do it enough. It bothers me that there are people that go hungry. It really does. I've experienced hunger. And it bothers me a lot. You know? Those are just a few of the things that bother me. But let me tell you something. It really isn't about me. Verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th of the month, Elul, in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations surrounding us saw it. This is the result. They lost their confidence. For they recognized that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. Oh man, I want to say amen so loud right now. Amen. You see? You see what happens when the church does the work? You see what happens when we do what we're supposed to do, regardless of what happens around us? Guess what happens? Our enemies will be in fear. How is the church alive in the 21st century? How is the church alive in 2016 when the Roman Empire, a whole kingdom, wanted to destroy the church? How is it that it's alive today? Because of the hand of God. How is it that it's going to survive many, many years from now until Jesus comes back? Because of the hand of our Lord. But we have to do our share. We have to do our part. We have to get people back to the church. We have to get people back to God. We have to get ourselves back to the Lord and back to the church. That's how we're going to do it. That's how we're going to survive. And that's why the people will see, when they see, we try to destroy these people. Why is it that they're thriving? Why is it that they're still happy? Why is it that they're not scared? Because the hand of the Lord is with us. That's why. That's how we're going to survive. And that's how we're going to change our lives. That's how we're going to lead our families, because of God. Verse 9, chapter 8. And this is one of the last slides, I promise. Chapter 8. Then Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people were weeping when they heard the words of the law. You know why they were weeping? The same reason why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are those who mourn. They saw in themselves, I'm not doing what God is asking me to do. They heard the law and they said, we're not doing this. This is not me. I have not been doing it. So they were weeping. Verse 10. Then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our God. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know what that means. Don't focus on the bad stuff. Think about what God has done and take courage on that. Be happy because what the Lord is doing and because of what the Lord is going to do. And if we just open our eyes, there'll be amazing things happening. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Know that you are saved. Know that the grace of God has cleansed your sins and that you can just move on from that. Don't let that sin keep on bothering you all the time. Know that the grace of the Lord is with you and that you are safe in his arms. That there is no sin that his blood cannot cover. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. We can do this. We can do this. Verse 18. He read from the book of the law of God daily. That's important. From the first day to the last day, and they celebrated the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the ordinance. You know why we have an assembly on this day? Isn't that amazing? You're reading daily, and this is the day that you come with your brothers and sisters, and you show that you're happy. We endured another week. This is good, and we're starting it right. We're going to make it right this week. Chapter 9. Now on the 24th of this month, the sons of Israel assembled with fasting in sackcloth and with dirt upon them. The descendants of Israel separated themselves from all foreigners and stood and confessed their sins in the iniquities of their fathers. Verse 3. While they stood in place, they read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a fourth of the day. And for another fourth, they confessed and worshipped the Lord their God. Yes. When they read it, they said, this is what we need to do. They had intermarried. The priest had intermarried with foreign nations, which is something that God said, don't do. They did it. And then they said, what are we going to do about that? You know what they did? They talked to their wives. And they said, this is what how it's going to be from now on. I'm going to follow the Lord. If you are with me on it, let's do it. But if you're not, now, please, that's what they did in order to get right with God. What I'm saying is, what do I need to do to get right with God? And I'm not talking about blaming the spouse. I'm talking about me. How am I going to make it right with God? So, to conclude, what bothers you? If something bothers you, if you have a chip on your shoulder, get it done. Get it fixed. What are you tired of? If you're tired of doing something, well, stop doing it. If you're tired of not doing something, well, go ahead and do it. Do it for the glory of God. Set a goal and build the wall. Funny, actually, that was the original title that I was going to name this lesson, Build the Wall. But, you know, I'm Mexican, so... Thank you for laughing. So just set a goal. Build a wall. Build a church. If this morning the Word has spoken to you, the Lord has spoken to you, if you want to do something about it, we have elders here that would like to encourage you. There are ministers here, even though they're not present right now, but they would love to encourage you as well. You have brothers and sisters who, when they see you come forward, they're going to come and hold your hand. Because we want to see you succeed. We want to see all of us into heaven. If you're ready to come forward as we stand and as we sing.